I'm Leo Sidran with The Art of the Story. Today is April 20th, or 420, a day now widely associated with pot culture. For some, the number carries an aura of rebellion, but the origin story is more ordinary than mystical. The most widely accepted account traces it to a group of California high school students in the early 1970s who used 420 as a code for the time they would meet after school to look for an abandoned cannabis crop. Like so much important information, it took the intervention of musicians to carry 420, which began as a local phenomenon, outward and onto the global stage. Only after fans of the Grateful Dead and the band's wider orbit began using the number did it become a shorthand around the world. Still, for true aficionados, every day is the right day for getting high. And if there's one art form where cannabis has long held a place in the mythology, it's jazz. To get some clarity through the haze, I turned to an expert in the field, someone with both a handle on the history and a lifetime of personal experience. My father, musician Ben Sidran.
Pot has been part of jazz since the beginning, starting with the father of jazz, Louis Armstrong. Louis Armstrong allegedly was smoking cannabis every day of his life, even to the point where when he was the ambassador of the United States, he would have access to diplomatic pouches when he traveled, so his personal belongings would not go through customs. It was a dispensation for the fact that Louis was representing all of us. So I think in a way, jazz musicians, once again, are canaries in the coal mine. They show us the past, the present, and the future. Louis Armstrong was a great pot smoker. But where did he get his pot? That's the question. And he got his pot from Mez Mezro. Now, briefly, Mez Mezro was from Chicago, a member of the so-called Austin High Gang, a bunch of young white jazz musicians who discovered Louis Armstrong in the 20s when he came up from New Orleans to Chicago, played at a place called the Lincoln Gardens, and all these young aficionados gathered around Pops Louis Armstrong. Mez, while not being the greatest clarinet player, was the greatest pot dealer. And he eventually moved to New York, to Harlem, where he was such a successful cannabis dealer that the name for pot was Mez, or the Mighty Mez. He is legendary, and of course there's a great jazz club in New York named after him, not for his clarinet playing.
Now that cannabis has become largely decriminalized in much of the country, destigmatized, and increasingly mainstream, one wonders if this changes the dynamic in any way.
Basically what you're asking is, what happens now that it's not just the musicians that are high, but the audience that's high? Yeah, the underground experience, of course, is no longer part of the mystique. Seriously now, there was an aspect of pot smoking that was always an issue for jazz musicians in that, as Charlie Parker himself said, you don't necessarily play better when you're high, but you hear better. And pot-smoking jazz musicians know that cannabis can create a little time lag. You can get hung up between a C and a C sharp. That normally is a very small space, but if one is engaged in cannabis smoking, that could loom very large. Not only does it affect your audience, but it affects the music. So as my friend, the great tenor player Bob Rockwell says, if you're going to play high, you have to practice high.
Whether you're celebrating 420 as a special occasion or whether it's simply part of the routine, happy practicing. I'm Leo Sidran, WBGO News.